It is time for another edition of the JMRA Podcast. I am your host, Joe Montana's right arm, here with you to discuss all there is in the world of, whatever we want to talk about. We're going to talk about the National Football League a little bit on the podcast, but most notably, today, tonight, whenever you are listening to this, we are going to discuss the Extreme Rules pay-per-view or WWE Network special, whatever they're calling it these days exactly, because I am going to be there this Sunday. It is in New Jersey, so I am lucky enough to be heading up to Newark, to The Rock, to the Prudential Center to check out Extreme Rules. And it should be a fun card, so we'll cover that. And also, we'll get into a couple of quick issues in the NFL a little bit later on in the podcast. So, a couple of things first. You can check us out on social media. First, on the blog, joemontanasrightarm.com. Also on Twitter, at joemsrightarm. And on Instagram as well, by simply searching J Montana's right arm. So Joe Montana's right arm on Instagram as well. We're on Facebook, all kinds of stuff out there in the social media highways and byways. It has been a crazy week for yours truly. I am coming off of a work week in which I work basically, I work 7 days, all 7 days, and then I worked from roughly to eight for five straight days in a row. Not fun. not fun. So that is I'm getting things that are crunching on my blogging time, which is not fun. But we are here and we are ready to rock and roll here as we get towards incredibly the month of May. Now, late stages of the month of May. Now, look, I don't know about you and where you are listening to this, but as we do this podcast, okay, it is May now the 19th as we tape this on early Thursday morning, and it is 55 friggin' degrees outside almost every day here in May. This is crazy. I know we're technically another month away from the start of summer. When is the warm weather coming? Can it please arrive? Please. I'm begging you. I just want it to be like 75 degrees so I can just sit outside and just stare into space. I can't even do that. I'm still running the heat in my house in May because it's like dropping down to the 40s and stuff. I'm doing this podcast right now in a hooded sweatshirt and sweatpants because I'm cold. This is stupid. This is the stupidest weather I've ever seen. It's crazy. Anyhow, you got the social media rundown and me whining about the weather and work and all this stuff. So let's get down to business here. Okay, so Extreme Rules coming up this Sunday from Newark, New Jersey, the Prudential Center. This is an interesting show because we're now really in the closing, well, not closing stages, but we're getting towards money time as far as SummerSlam goes. SummerSlam is the big first half of the year card that will be held in August. And a lot of things that are happening in the WWE over the next couple of months will be in an effort to shape and shift towards that particular show. So on this card, there's some angles, many of which will probably be coming to an end in some regard that we'll get to. And I think, actually, you go through a lot of these matches, I think you're going to see a big shift in really these feuds coming up. I would suspect that, you won't see many repeat matches heading on the next big show that they have coming up, which I think is actually Money in the Bank in June. So this will be interesting. So let's get to it. The pre-match or the pre-show match will be Dolph Ziggler versus Baron Corbin, no disqualification match on the pre-show. Look, I know that Dolph Ziggler is a favorite of the fans, the IWC, the Internet Wrestling Community of Doom, as I like to call them. But Dolph Ziggler not only needs to lose, but he needs to be eviscerated in this match. I think it's time to start moving away from the Dolph Zigglers of the world. To a lesser degree, Miz. I don't mind the Miz and the current role he's in, so not necessarily him to that degree, but there are some guys in the company that I think, maybe it's time we put them on ice. And Dolph Ziggler's one of those guys. His moment in time, you know, to be a main event player, I think, has come and gone. I think that door and that window of opportunity for him has closed. So I'm expecting here Baron Corbin to win decisively against Dolph Ziggler and move on to whatever he's going to do next. On to the main show, the Usos versus the Club in a Texas Tornado match. I've made no bones about the fact that I am not a fan of the Club. I think the Club is NWO adjacent. I think it's NWO Junior. I think it's, Carl Anderson and Luke Gallows are a knockoff of Scott Hall and Kevin Nash. I think they're, I told one of my friends today, I think those two remind me of Arn Anderson and Tully Blanchard, a version of that tag team if those guys had no personality. Now, it's not necessarily all their fault, but I'm not feeling it. Their in-ring work, I think, actually is pretty good. But from what the bill of goods that I was sold by the mighty Internet Wrestling Community of Doom about these two guys, okay. I mean, I'm seeing this in NXT. Like, American Alpha. Dash and Wilder. Like, I'm seeing, you know, I see good tag team wrestling in NXT. So, like, what are these guys bringing to the table? I mean, to me, they're not bringing a lot to the table right now in terms of personality. And, like, we still don't know why they're here. Like, all they've said is, we're here to make an impact. What do you mean you're here to make an impact? What the hell does that mean? Can you please explain yourself? Or can someone stick a microphone in front of them and say, hey, guys, why are you here? Why are you doing this? Maybe we'll get that explanation after the main event. I don't know. But I think this is a layup match for Gallows and Anderson. I would think they have to go over here against the Usos. No doubt about that. The history of the Club, well, not the history, because I don't think WWE doesn't want to bring up the Bullet Club, since the Bullet Club is still like an actual functioning wrestling group. You got to do something, though, to address the history and where these guys came from. There has to be some sort of sit-down interview or something with these guys to at least give them a chance to have some character. Like, I don't like them, but you at least got to give them a chance to hang themselves with their own rope. Speaking of hanging things, that leads us to the Asylum match. Dean Ambrose versus Chris Jericho. This match will be contested inside of a steel cage with a bunch of weapons hanging around the cage, including a straight jacket, a fire extinguisher. I think a chair was up there, a barbed wire 2x4. Maybe, unlike WrestleMania, they'll actually use the weapons here. I would think so, at least in this situation, that you'll see those things come into play. That would be nice. Man, Chris Jericho is killing it right now as a heel. Absolutely love his stuff. When he told the audience on Monday night, you know, take a look at me, I'm Chris Jericho, drink it in. He's wearing the scarf with no shirt. My favorite line of his is, I'm the best in the world at what I do. Do you understand what I'm saying to you right now? I want to go around and tell people that every day at work. Or just like when I go into the supermarket and just yell at people. I am the best. And I could be talking about anything, you know, picking up tomatoes, putting corn in a basket, picking out containers of watermelon. I am the best in the world at what I do. Do you understand what I'm saying to you right now? Man, I wish I had the balls to talk like that to people. I just don't. I just don't. But it's cool to dream. That's why I'm living vicariously through Chris Jericho. I think it's tremendous. Anyhow, you know, Dean Ambrose is probably going to go over here, I think. It'll be real interesting to see what they have him do next. I would suspect you'll see guys like Ambrose and maybe Owens participate in the Money in the Bank ladder match for the shot at the title down the line. I would think you'd see that from those guys. So I look for Ambrose to go over Jericho here in this match. The WWE Tag Team titles will be on the line as the New Day takes on the Vaudevillains. I gotta say here, I think this is a potential upset alert. Because, you know, the tag team division right now is a little bit deeper than what it's been in a long time. But, what's the angle here for the New Day, you know? I think they need to stay in the title picture, but not necessarily have the belts. And I think it's far more useful for a team like the Vaudevillains to kind of build themselves with the titles. Now, if this thing goes the other way and it's the New Day, I would think at some point you're going to have to do, if they're going to keep the club around in some fashion, I would think at some point you'd have to do the New Day versus the club. As much as I would not want to see them with the belts, I think that would be an interesting program for the titles. Having said that, though, I think you need to give the New Day something to do. I mean, how many more weeks can we get into this thing where they're running down opponents and doing this and doing that? You know, I think that's a major question mark moving forward. So, I would not be surprised here if the Vaudevillains won. Actually, I think that's what's going to happen. I think they're going to win. I hope they don't. But I can see a scenario in which the WWE says, let's put the New Day back in chase mode and see what happens. Because, again, I mean, they're almost at the point where they don't need the titles. They're that over, they're that popular right now as a group, and I think the question you have to ask yourself if you're the WWE is, who do you want beating these guys, and after you beat them, where do you go from there? So I think that's a big question they have to answer, and I would not be surprised if they go with the Vaudevillains here. I personally don't think it's a good idea, but I can see why they would do it, just to have another, a continuation of a tag team angle going forward. I would suspect that there will be, like I said, an angle with the club and maybe the New Day at some point. Although, from what I'm reading, that's not going to happen next. But we'll get to that in a second. Well, not in a second, but a little bit later on in the podcast. So, that's a match to certainly keep your eye on. Kalisto versus Rusev for the U.S. title. I think it's time to take the belt off of Kalisto for a couple of reasons. Number one, if I'm the WWE, okay, if I'm creative, right, I'm taking the belt off of Kalisto and putting it on Rusev for one reason. That dude John Cena's coming back, all right? So John Cena lost the U.S. title to Alberto Del Rio back in October at Hell in a Cell. And then came back quickly for a cup of coffee before he got hurt again. I think you have to bring him back to try to, not resuscitate, but bring some life back into the U.S. title again. And at least try to maybe get that angle back where you're doing Cena versus Del Rio again, or you're doing Cena against Rusev with a chase for the title. I think that would be interesting. And I think it would be pretty cool if you have Rusev, like, just basically steamroll Kalisto and say, hey, how I'm so great, blah, blah, blah. And bam, right off the bat, after a week of being champion, here comes John Cena to challenge Rusev for the United States title and beat him. Beat him right away. Take the title off of him. Transitional champion. Boom. There you go. Sorry, Rusev, but you are a doormat to history again for John Cena. So I think Rusev should be the champ. I think he should win the U.S. title, but for no other reason than to get the belt on John Cena. Intercontinental title match, Fatal 4-Way. The Miz as a champion against Kevin Owens versus Cesaro and Sami Zayn. I actually think The Miz should go over here and win this match. Kevin Owens, I think, needs to be transitioned into some sort of world title program. I just think he's above the Intercontinental title at this point. And then it comes down to whether or not you think The Miz, Cesaro, or Sami Zayn is a worthwhile Intercontinental champion. I think you leave it on The Miz and have those other guys chase him until you find a suitable conclusion. Now, here's what I would do if I were holding the book, okay? So you have this NXT TakeOver match on June 8th between Finn Balor and Samoa Joe. So let's say Samoa Joe wins that match, and Finn Balor says, you know what, to hell with it, I'm done. Outsider terms, the WWE calls Finn Balor and says, hey, it's time to come up to the main roster. You bring him up to the main roster and have him beat his first night on Raw or something, or the first night on the show or in the company, in the main company. You have him beat The Miz for the Intercontinental title. I think that would be certainly a good way to start his run in WWE and on the main roster. I think that would be a pretty cool way to go. Otherwise, I mean, if you're trying to figure out when the Miz title run is going to end, I don't know. I mean, is there a real need to put it on Cesaro? I don't think so. He's already had it, I think. I mean, Sami Zayn, is there a need to put it on him? Maybe, and that might be if you're, you know, picking out straws here. I think maybe that's the way you want to go. From the title perspective, and putting it on him. Other than that, I think they should just keep it on The Miz. Time for Bay Talk. Time to talk about my favorite WWE wrestler right now, and that's Charlotte. Charlotte taking on Natalya. Women's title match. A submission match. So the only way you can win the match is via submission. Ric Flair is banned from ringside. They added the wrinkle on Raw on Monday, that if Flair even walks down to the ringside area, Charlotte will be stripped of the title. Now, a couple things here. Number one, this is probably going to be the blow-off for this feud, and it is at least rumored that Charlotte will be facing Paige in an upcoming title program. You may be thinking, dude, we just saw that feud late last year. How are things going to change? Well, a couple things. Number one, the roles will be reversed. Paige would be the face and Charlotte would be the heel. But here's where things get interesting. I read this week and I was somewhat shocked. But then after I thought about it for a few minutes, it made total sense. So, if you remember on Raw a few weeks ago, Charlotte lost a match to Paige, Ric Flair. It was a match where they got Flair out of the ringside area, and then he came down, and then him coming down was a distraction, so Charlotte got pinned. Now, I would think they're keeping that match in their back pocket as far as a way to introduce Paige being a top contender to Charlotte's Women's Championship. But here's where things are real tricky outside of the ring. Apparently, so there's been a little bit of a dust-up on the internet over Paige being seen with Alberto Del Rio out at Disney World or Disneyland, wherever they were. So there are pictures of them taking, PDA-ish photos. There's a photo, I believe, of them kissing outside at the park, and they're all lovey-dovey outside and all this stuff. So you're like, who cares? What does this have to do with Charlotte? Well, funny you should mention that. Funny you should ask that question. Reportedly, right before this happened, at some point between the time of Hell in a Cell in LA in October, which is when Alberto Del Rio came back, and at some point prior to this whole Paige thing, there was something going on with Alberto Del Rio and Charlotte off camera. Now, Vincent Kennedy McMahon has caught wind of this and wants to have these two go at it for the title in an upcoming program. And the current idea is for writers to try to pitch him on an idea on how to introduce Paige as a challenger to Charlotte. Now, obviously, you would think that will not be the way to introduce Paige as a championship challenger to Charlotte by saying, hey, I'm with the guy you were with, so let's fight for the title. That's the dumbest angle in wrestling history. You can't do that. At least in this era. It would be too weird. So, they're going to come up with something apparently for Paige and Charlotte to do, a reason for them to wrestle. At least that was the game plan as of this week. So we'll see how that turns out. Charlotte should win this match against Natalya and move on from there. Real quick note, I did like the segment on Monday night. I thought that was cool. Some people were bitching and moaning about, oh, they're closing Raw with the women's title angle. Who cares? Well, you dummies, this is why it's important. It's because if you want the Divas Revolution, this is the kind of thing that has to happen. And plus, let's remember, they were closing Raw out with the women's angle back in, I think, what was it? The SummerSlam where Cena got mauled by Brock Lesnar. SummerSlam 2014, that one. So, that's been done before, so let's not get all uppity and act like it can't happen, okay? It can happen, it did happen, and it did happen there on Monday night. I thought the byplay between Flair, Ric Flair that is, and Shane and Stephanie was pretty good. And there's going to be a time, and I don't know when this is going to happen. I think it will happen at some point. So Stephanie McMahon is coming out with this book, right? I think at some point they're going to put her in the ring again. She works out a ton. She's in tremendous shape. I would love to see her wrestle Charlotte. I don't know. I don't think it would make any sense to do at SummerSlam for a title. I don't think it would even make any sense to do really at WrestleMania. Maybe you do it at Mania, depending on what's going on with the women's title scene. But that would be interesting just for no other reason than, you know, Stephanie McMahon is not going to have a bad match. She's just not going to they're not going to let her have a bad match. So I think that would be cool to see. And I think that would be an interesting dynamic between her and Charlotte. Kind of two very headstrong women going at it. Oh man, that would be great. If Raw was just 3 hours of those two feuding, where do I sign? But anyhow, I don't think that's where all of this is going for Charlotte over the next few months. She's clearly on the road to Sasha Banks at some point, and we'll see where it goes from there. And then lastly, AJ Styles versus Roman Reigns. Hey man, I gotta tell you, going to Extreme Rules on Sunday, I am super excited to see Charlotte, but I am almost equally as excited, or more excited, if you will, to see Roman Reigns and to tell these young punk kids what's going on in the real world and why they should be supporting Roman Reigns. It's time to stop booing. It's enough, okay? Let's get over it. It's time to move on. This man is the champion. He's going to win with a Superman punch and a spear on Sunday of AJ Styles. He's going to win it again. And, you know, it's funny because I was talking... One of my friends is a huge wrestling fan. And I was talking to her about bringing a sign to the show on Sunday. And she was like, you know, hey, look. As great as it would be for you to make a sign, you got to carry that thing around. I mean, it's a lot. If you're willing to put up with the nonsense of carrying around a sign, then yeah, go for it. I probably would have conned her into making the sign too. But here was my idea for the sign. And this is the kind of mentality I'm going into Sunday night's show with. I wanted to make a sign saying something to the effect of the club. You know, like the club, like this stupid club that they have with Carl Anderson and Luke Gallows and AJ Styles and whoever. So, but I was going to make one saying the club, but this would be a pro-Roman Reigns sign. And the club would be consisting of checkboxes with these names. So you have checkbox with a check in it, and it says Daniel Bryan. Another checkbox with a check in it, says Dean Ambrose. Checkbox, another check in it, says Seth Rollins. These are all the guys that Roman Reigns has beaten over the last year or so. Not even with the title. Just all of these indie heroes. All your favorites. All your stars. All these guys that people love. Your Dean Ambrose. Your Daniel Bryans. Who else? There were some other guys. I'm drawing a blank right now. But all of these indie... Well, AJ Styles obviously already beat him. All these indie heroes that people love. Triple H now. The Lord and Master of NXT. All these guys have been put down by the Superman punch and the spear. And I wanted to have a sign with the checkbox checking off each one of these legends, these awesome workers, these guys, these demigods of the internet wrestling community that have all been slapped down at the hand of Roman Reigns. I was really excited to make that sign, but, you know, I don't want to get punched in the face. I will yell at people on Sunday, questioning maybe their manhood as to why they can't saddle up and root for Roman Reigns like a grown human being and an adult. You know, don't give me the moveset thing. I mean, all the great faces over the last 25 years, the mega white meat baby faces, as they like to call them. Go back and watch those matches, man. There aren't a lot of moves. There aren't. The Rock, get the hell out of here. If you're gonna sit here and say The Rock had, like, you know, this endless entree of moves. Steve Austin, once Steve Austin had injuries, I mean, Jesus Christ. I mean, are you serious? Like, his matches are, they were pretty simple. They were all brawls, kick, wham, stunner. They were fun, but I mean, there wasn't a lot of catch-as-catch-can wrestling going on. There wasn't a lot of mat-based wrestling going on in those. So it's so stupid. Like, I can't stand it. Like, come on, guys. Ric Flair. I love Ric Flair. No wrestler will ever mean more to me than what Ric Flair has throughout his career. He did not have a wide array of moves. This idea that you need this, like, dramatic move set to be a great wrestler is just a load of crap. It just is. So, anyways, very excited about Sunday. Hopefully it ends in a Superman punch and a spear for AJ Styles, and we can all drive home and go home safely and worry about what's next for the Roman Empire. Okay, that's our breakdown of Extreme Rules. A couple of quick NFL notes I want to get to before we call it a show here. RG3 allegedly, according to Mike Shanahan, called a coach's meeting a few years ago when he was a member of the Washington Redskins to basically ream out the coaching staff and tell them to change pass protections and really make changes across the offense. Boy, I can't imagine a dumber thing to do if you're a player to garner the trust of players and coaches than something like that. But as Mike Shanahan pointed out, that was probably coming from the owner. Because why in the hell would you do that if you're a player on your own without the approval in some way, shape, or form of the owner? So that is a pretty weird story. Sam Bradford is back in the fold with the Eagles. I don't care. I don't want to see him take a snap for the Eagles this year, but he will, since he's the starting quarterback, according to Doug Peterson. So the sooner the Eagles can begin the Wentz era, the better. It's just, it needs to start yesterday. We don't need to be trifling around with Sam Bradford and his crappy attitude. I mean, give me a break with this guy. Elsewhere, Sammy Watkins broke a bone in his foot. Looks like he's going to be out through training camp. So, big injury there for the Buffalo Bills offense. Man, other than that, not a lot going on in the NFL right now. It is the proverbial quiet before the storm, and it's been a long quiet. This has been one of the most boring off seasons I can ever remember. Nothing really that exciting is going on. People were all hyped up about the Brady suspension, but even that's not necessarily a done deal yet. So, man, it's just it's been a lame offseason so far in the NFL. I'm not saying I hope somebody gets in trouble, but I hope somebody does something that solicits feeling and emotion. I'm tired of writing about Rob Gronkowski and this and that. I mean, somebody, give me. I mean, come on. This is crazy. Anyhow, we'll be back next week with another edition of the JMRA podcast to catch up on how Extreme Rules finished out. I'll tell you a little bit about my trip to Newark as a part of the Extreme Rules show. Should be a fun time on Sunday for us. And yeah, we'll catch up and tell you all about it on the next edition of the JMRA podcast. Again, you can check us out on the blog, joemontanasrightarm.com, on Twitter, at joemsrightarm, on Instagram by searching Joe Montana's Right Arm as well. On Facebook, too, so check us out. Until next time, happy football, everybody. And sports, entertainment, and wrestling, too.